Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
The Michigan Wolverines won the national championship in early 2024, but 119 years earlier, they had quite a play that was all the talk in football land. And we have Timothy Brown of Football Archaeology joining us tonight to tell us all about this 1905 play and what it meant to football. Tim's coming up in a moment to tell us all about it.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal for positive football history. And welcome to another Football Archaeology Day with Timothy Brown of that website. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, thank you, Darren. Look forward to chatting. And I was going to say this subject is kind of about my Back to the Future game. So that's kind of fits in really well with the broader Sports History Network that you are a part of. Yeah. But this is definitely my Back to the Future game.
Well, that's a great way to look at it. I'm going to try to hold that line as you talk here, because you have a title of your tidbit that you wrote recently is Michigan's Goal Line Punt Return of 1905, the era that I love of football. For some reason, I'm just enamored to that early years of the 20th century and the ball game that was played. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this.
Yeah. So, you know, if any listeners that aren't as aware that, you know, Pigskin Dispatch is part of the Sports History Network, and you know, Arnie runs that, and one of his, you know, kind of themes or the things that he uses, you know, consistently when he does his own podcast is he says, okay, hop in the DeLorean and let's go back in time, right? And so, you know, this was asked recently in another context, but it's like, if you could go back and watch one football game in history, what would that game be? And so I actually named two. I said, if it was NFL, I'd go to the Ice Bowl. But if it's college or just general football, I would go back to the Chicago-Michigan game of 1905. And it's just like, you know, you just can't even imagine how big a game this was, you know. So it is literally the last weekend of college football when the whole system is under attack because of the violence in the game and the number of deaths. And there's going to be a revolution before the 1906 season. But so this is still it's the last of the old guard. And you've got two teams entering the game, Michigan, who has been running roughshod over everybody, including Chicago for the most part. You know, in the most recent years, you know, Michigan was in the first Rose Bowl in 1902, and they got their point a minute offense under Fielding Yost. And leading into the game with Chicago, Michigan had outscored their opponents 495-0. 495-0, you know, reasonably dominant, right? Now, Chicago was nowhere near as impressive. They had only outscored their opponents 269-5. I mean, they'd given up a touchdown, right? I mean, so they couldn't have been that impressive. So anyway, so it's just one of these things where it's just like, these two just dominant teams. And I think that was probably the first time, maybe some of the earlier Michigan teams where people were like, this game, but for sure, this is the first game where it's like, this is a game that's better than any game being played that was played in the East all year long. Right? I mean, Michigan had had some great teams and they were national champs, but this is the first game where the Midwest has the two best teams in the country. And most nobody would have doubted that at that point. So it's a huge game, huge game.
And you sit there and just to add on to that, you probably have two of the biggest innovators of the game of football in history, but fielding a choice, like you said, and Amos Alonzo Stagg for Chicago. I mean, that's they don't get any bigger than that for college coaches.
And so, they're playing in Chicago because that's where the big stadium is and that's where the big crowds can be, and so they get more, the gate's bigger in Chicago. And so it's 0-0 in the fourth quarter. It's back and forth, tight game, obviously, if it's 0-0. And Walter Eckersall is the quarterback of Chicago. He's also their punter and their drop kicker. Midway through the fourth quarter, he's punting from the 55-yard line because they still had a 55-yard line there. Then he boots the ball and it lands somewhere close to the end, to the goal line. And Michigan had two players back. One of them was a guy named Denny Clark. He fields the ball on the 2-yard line and apparently, took a step back. And as he steps back, a guy named Mark Catlin hits him. The hit carries him over the goal line into the end. Well, it wasn't goal end zone yet, but past the goal line for a safety. And so, at that time, football did not have forward progress. So if you got hit on the 1-yard line and carried behind the goal line into touch, behind the goal line, then if you got down there, that was a safety. And so Chicago goes ahead 2-0. Then fundamentally nothing else happens the rest of the game, and Chicago wins 2-0, and they're the national champs as a result because of that play.
First
And
2 points scored against Michigan for the season, too.
exactly, on a safety. And so, one of the things that happens in 1906 is they football rules initiate forward progress. So that play would not have counted as a safety in 1906, but it did in 1905. So it's just one of these, like great moments in college football. So, it just would be really fun. And unfortunately, this Denny Clark, I think he was kind of a troubled guy his whole life, even before any of this happened, but he just was so distraught. He may not have even gone back to Ann Arbor with the team. I'm not sure about that, but he transferred. He couldn't stand being there. He transfers to MIT, graduates. He's a smart guy, and then but he never ever really got over it. He ends up committing suicide in like 1932. But it was just one of those things where, forgetting about the Danny Clark or Denny Clark issue, just the atmosphere at that game just had to be crazy. It's just just the best football that was being played in the country, and for it to end the way that it ended was something else,
And that was a humongous rivalry back then because the Chicago Maroons were part of the was it the Western Conference then or was it called the Big Ten? They were
I mean,
part of
yeah,
that,
it
and
was
Ohio
what, yeah,
State really
Western,
wasn't anything to call home about it as a football program yet. And yes, that was
Well,
Michigan's big rival.
and the other thing about that, there was a guy, and I'm gonna blank on his first name, but I think his last name is Elbels or Ebbles. Anyways, on the way back, no, it actually was a year or two before that. On the way back from a game when Michigan beat Chicago, a guy who was a Michigan student is taking the train back, and he writes this song that is now, you know, the Victors. You know, so Michigan's fight song was written in response to a victory over Chicago. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a sense of, you know, Chicago's stature and the nature of that rivalry. And even like, you know, on Wisconsin, there's a line in On Wisconsin that now says, take the ball clear down the field, boys. You know, we're going to win this game. But it used to be, take the ball clear around Chicago. We're going to win this game, or, you know, along those lines. So Chicago was a big deal for Wisconsin too. You know, so they were a big deal back then.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, that is a great story. And I'm glad you shared it with us today, and just brings back, you know, get your blood boiling a little bit to watch some live football. And I can see why that would be one of your wishes with Arnie to go back and watch that game. did he ever show you his DeLorean when you were on with
him? I don't think, you know, so when he and I, we did one or two podcasts, and we just did it by telephone. So I didn't, I wouldn't have seen a visual.
I think I was one of his early, probably Zoom video calls. And he decided to show me the DeLorean as he was telling me. And here it was a little matchbox car. I was a little bit underwhelmed, and I was a little bit disappointed. And
he's like the Wizard of Oz, you know, he's all smoke and
yeah,
really right,
yeah.
Behind
yeah,
the,
yeah. Don't look at the DeLorean behind the curtain. Tim, that is a great piece of football history, and you share piece of football history a lot on your website. And maybe you could tell the folks where to go and to look at some of your stuff.
Sure. The site is footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack site. So you can, you know, just go to footballarchaeology.com, subscribe. You know, I'm also, I basically post everything on Twitter, on Threads. And then, you know, you can also use the Substack app if you just want to follow as opposed to subscribe. So anyways, those are the kind of the options, or just go out to the site whenever you want. And there's an archive now with about 1,000 different, you know, articles out there. So have at it.
All right, Tim, we thank you again for sharing with us and, you know, telling that great story. Like I said, I'm the hairs are still on the back of my neck. I have to go back and comb them after we're done here. But thank you for that. I'm going to hit the cold shower, and we will talk to you again next week.
Hey, very good. Thanks.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast as well as Jersey Dispatch on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, it's found right here on the Sports History Network.